But people want to jump ship. They want to get out of the boat with God when the storm starts rocking it, because they believe that if they do it God's way, it won't come quick enough or it won't come at all.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Work of the Holy Spirit and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today I'm going to talk about something that we should be thankful for. It's the Holy Spirit. Now I might get a little deep into this subject, but this is an important subject. Today's sermon is called The Work of the Holy Spirit. The Work of the Holy Spirit. Our key verse is going to be in Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. I'm reading out of the NIV. Let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We pray that you will open our hearts, God, so that we may receive revelation from your word today and that you will anoint me to speak your words. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, God. The work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. John 4:2-4. God is Spirit, right? Okay. God is Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. That person is God. Now, this is deep. We can't explain the Trinity, and this is what I'm getting to. We can't fully understand the Trinity, but we can get an idea. The Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity. See Mark chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. This is when Jesus was baptized, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him as if like a dove, right? And then a voice opened up from heaven, and God spoke. But Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God were all in the same place at the same time, but yet they're all God. Very deep, isn't it? Very deep. Okay? The Holy Spirit is God living in and among believers. When you're saved through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you and among you. Okay? Now listen, the Holy Spirit is God, right? The Holy Spirit is God at work, that should be at work in believers. You know that God's working on us? Why is he working on us? We're in need of a Savior. Okay, we need fixing. I need fixing. Some of you don't. Some of you are perfect. Some of you got it going, but I need fixing. I admit to that. I submit to you, O Lord. The Bible teaches that the Father is God, that Jesus is God, and that the Holy Spirit is God. The Bible also teaches that there is only one God. This is known as the Trinity. I hope some of you are following me. I told you it's going to be a little bit deep today, okay? The Trinity is one God existing in three persons. Okay, so when the Holy Spirit is in us, God is in us because he's an extension of God. Now, this diagram here tries to help us figure this out. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. But the Father is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Son is not the Father. That's the best way we can represent the Trinity. I told you, it's beyond our comprehension. God is marvelous. So again, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, but the Father is not the Son is not the Holy Spirit is not the Father, and vice versa. Does that make sense? God is that big. Number one, the Holy Spirit convicts. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Look at John 16:8. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. You ever see someone living their life any way they want to? And they do things to you and they do things to other people. And you look at that person and you say, what's the matter with them? Don't they know that what they're doing is wrong? Can't they see it? And if you really listen in those times, sometimes you'll hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you saying, are you not guilty of the same thing or something similar? That's because when we're out convicting people, which is not our job, right? Which is not our job. The Holy Spirit is convicting us. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin and wrongdoing. However, many fail to respond to his reproof and continue to practice their sinful ways. Unless they repent, they are doomed to eternal death. There are some people, you can tell them what they're doing. You can show them what they're doing, and they could actually be going through the process of feeling the judgment of God upon their life, paying the penalty for their sins, and they still won't repent. They still won't repent. I mean, the thing that they're doing has got them into trouble, and they're still not repenting. They won't listen. They won't listen. People will come to them and tell them. They'll speak. Christians will come and speak through the Holy Spirit will speak through people. You know that? And they'll say, hey, you need to turn around. You need to quit doing this. You need to get your life together. You need to be coming to church. You need to be living a cleaner life. They won't listen to that. They'll feel it with inside themselves. They won't listen to that. They'll continue living their life any way they want to. And you know what? These people, some of them even believe that they're Christians. I hear it all the time. You know, I don't need to go to church. Say I'm a good person. Church is for those who aren't good people. Well, I thought this was a hospital for the spiritually sick. That's why I show up as much as possible, because I know I'm spiritually sick without Jesus. He's my spiritual doctor. Amen? Somebody hear me today? So the Holy Spirit convicts of sin and wrongdoing. When the Holy Spirit reproves us for wrong words, thoughts, deeds, and actions, we must ask God's forgiveness and cleansing through Christ. Second, the Holy Spirit testifies. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Man, if you got the Holy Spirit, you should be running around telling people about God, because the Holy Spirit talks about God. He testifies. He's got something to say. The Holy Spirit fills our mouths with testimony concerning Jesus. Listen to what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 10:19. Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. Hallelujah. When God speaks, he's saying something important. So if God's talking to you through the Holy Spirit, if I was you, I would listen up. I would listen up, because he's your creator. And he knows what he's doing. When he's talking to you, he's not wasting his words. Okay, when Christians are obedient to God's word, we have the testimony of both our spirit and the Holy Spirit. Because let me tell you what this means. I can't be a good person without God's help. The Bible says that there's only one who is good. One and one and only. Who is that? God. So if God is the only one who is good, that means James can't be good on his own, right? That means I need the Holy Spirit. So what this is saying is that when Christians are obedient, people should be seeing God in you. That's the testimony. People look back at somebody who didn't have Jesus before but has him now, and they say, wasn't that the guy that used to cuss all the time? Wasn't that the guy that used to drink all the time, do drugs all the time, party all the time? I don't ever hear him cuss, lose his temper, go crazy, party anymore. What's going on? And then the person realizes that this person is professing to be a Christian. That's testimony. The Holy Spirit is testimony, because the Holy Spirit is what works inside of us to make those changes. You cannot wait until your life is clean before you start coming to Jesus. God has to do the cleaning up. I can't make you clean. You can't make yourself clean. Your mommy and your daddy can't help you with it. Your friends can't help it. You can hang out with Christians all day long. Okay? It won't make you one. You got to hang out with Jesus. Third, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Intercedes. Listen to this. Romans 8:26. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. I've heard people speak in tongues, pray in tongues, and I have done the same. I don't do it on a regular basis. Speaking in tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit. I've done it, but I tell you what, there are times when we need to pray and we don't know what to pray for. We don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit inside of us does. And when you get into some deep praying, and the Holy Spirit takes over, you'll be amazed what comes out of your mouth. You'll be amazed. You will be. Because you'll start asking God for things that are not selfish anymore. You'll stop praying for yourself and start praying for others. You'll stop praying that your life is advanced and start praying that the kingdom is advanced. You'll start putting aside yourself and start putting God up in the forefront. You will. And I want to tell you the beautiful thing about those kind of prayers is this. If you're serving God, he will take you to places you've never been. He will walk you through valleys you thought you never could go through. He will get you through the deepest, darkest pits of your life if your heart is lined up with him. If your heart is lined up with him, he can carry you through some stuff. He can bring you. Listen, God is the only person I know that can bring you right down to poverty and you be blessing him while you're there. He did that to me. He stripped me of everything I had, and I was praising him in the pit because that's how good God is. Many Christians do not know what to pray for, but with the Holy Spirit's intercession, we can pray effectively. I hear this all the time. Well, I don't want to be a Christian because God never answers my prayers. People tell me that. Why should I go to church? God never answers my prayers. God does not answer the prayers of sinners. God does not answer the prayers of people who do not accept his son, Jesus Christ. I talk to people all the time who say, well, every time I ask God for something, nothing happens of it. I get nothing. I just gave up asking him. And then you look at these people's lives and they're disobedient to God. And that's not judging, that's observing. You know a thief when you see a thief, right? You know a murderer when you see a murderer. Amen? The Holy Spirit communicates with God on our behalf. Ooh, our behalf. Somebody's speaking to God for me? Wow. That's great. Now I don't have to figure it all out for myself, right? This is called grace. Matthew 6:8. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. He already knows. So why is it when bad news hits us, we start calling everybody up on the phone like it surprised God? Have you noticed that? When something horrible happens, that most of the time we cause to happen ourselves? For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So what do we ask for God? He knows what we need. So do we tell him about our electric bill being late? Do we tell him about that job we need? Some people stress because they need a job. But their Father in heaven already knows that they need that job. Right? And I pray with them. And I tell them, God's taking care of you. Amen? He knows, doesn't he? Some people panic when they have a need. Okay, for the Father knows what you need before you ask him. You know what? So Jesus gives us a formula for praying. I don't want to get too far into it, but he does talk about approaching God with reverence. He does talk about asking God for his will in your life. A lot of times we come to God not realizing he knows what we need, and we start spilling out all of these quote, needs. Oh, God, I need a better job, or God, I need a job, period, or God, I need some more money, or Lord, I need a place to stay. And he knows all of that. But did you know that if you start praying to God for his will in your life, all of these things will be added on to you? Listen, if you have a job with somebody and they tell you to go dig a hole with a backhoe, right? And you're working for the company that has backhoes, right? Are they not going to give you the backhoe to dig the hole with? They should, right? They're going to supply you with what you need to do the job. Ooh, now we're getting deep. So if you go to God and you say, Lord, I want to do your will. God says, great, I got a job for you to do. Don't come to him saying what you need, because he already knows what you need. So if he's got a job for you to do and you're accepting the job, he's going to give you the tools that you need to accomplish the job. The Lord told me to pass out Bibles. I didn't have any money to pass out Bibles. This is early on in my ministry. This is how he started me in ministry. It was Bible passing. Very simple, huh? Very simple. But I was a good and faithful servant to passing out Bibles. That's all he asked me to do. And I didn't have any money for Bibles. He gave me the tools that I needed. People found out that I was passing out Bibles, and they knew I was broke at the time, so they started buying me Bibles to pass out. Many times it was the people I gave Bibles to. Sometimes it was people I didn't do anything for. They just witnessed me doing it, and they said, I want to bless you. So I started getting Bibles. In fact, the Bibles that we handed out today, somebody paid for those. The church didn't. They donated them to the church. They bought a whole case of them. He's still blessing that ministry. He's still blessing that ministry. He will give you everything you need if you pray for his will. Fourth, the Holy Spirit counsels us. Now, I know some of you are depressed in here. I know you are. I know. I know there's things deep down inside of you that you don't feel like you can handle. Things that if you thought about them too long, well, they would just bust out of you. Things that wake you up in the middle of the night, you'd be sleeping, and then you wake up, and then you think about the things that are going on in your life, right? The bad things. Well, listen to this. The Holy Spirit counsels us, John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. You can come to God with every one of your problems, but you're thinking, well, James, I can't feel God. I can't see God. I can't get him on the telephone and hear his voice. Yes, you can. Absolutely. God gives you the peace that surpasses all understanding, but you only get that peace through obedience. People say, I don't feel the peace of God. Obey his commandments, and if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you, and you'll have that peace. You'd be walking through the fire and people be thinking you're drenched in water because you ain't being burned. Seriously, you'll have that peace that surpasses all understanding. The Holy Spirit counsels us. When you wake up in the middle of the night, do you get up and pace and fidget, wishing that it was daylight so you could call somebody and tell them about your problems? Wish you had your mommy still, your daddy, whoever it may be that comforts you. You got the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian. You can lay it out on God. And if you're silent before him, you can actually hear the Lord speaking to you. You can feel him talking to you. Sometimes it's in thought. Sometimes he'll have a friend call you up and talk to you that way. He speaks in many different ways. He really does. Many Christians run to friends or family or even professionals for advice. All can be helpful. All can be helpful. Okay? All can be helpful, but none of them are as effective as the Holy Spirit. Listen, when I have a car problem, I go see somebody that knows, you know, something about cars. But you know, I pray about it first, because I might get a hold of somebody that knows about cars, but they might not do me right. Amen? So I want to pray before I make my decisions about who I should call about a particular problem, right? And sometimes God won't bring anybody to you. Sometimes he'll separate you from everyone. Oh, you might have people around you, but they can't help you. Ooh, now you're alone. You're separated. You ever been in a situation your friends couldn't save you? Your family couldn't save you? They just didn't understand? The Holy Spirit is not like that. God is not like that, okay? When you get into those deep, dark pits that nobody else can throw you a lifeline to, there's God. There's God talking to you, comforting you, counseling you through the Holy Spirit. There he is, his presence. There he is. if you open your heart. See, I got a treasure that I'm telling you about. I know. I don't preach things up here I don't know, okay? I know. I had things that would wake me up in the night. But now I got something that keeps me asleep, and it's better than any sleeping pill. Some people have to take sleeping pills to go to sleep. I got my Holy Spirit that keeps me in perfect peace. Isaiah 30, 21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Now, you guys ever have a decision to make and somebody said, don't do that. No. Don't do that. And you did it anyways. And then you run around saying, I knew it. I knew I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I'm so stupid. Why didn't I listen to myself? Raise your hand if you've done that. Boy, there's a lot of honest people with that one. I've done that. I knew I shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? And you ask yourself, why? Why did I do that? Something told me I shouldn't have done that. I had a feeling. You got to learn to know this voice. You got to learn to trust this voice. This is a very important voice in your heart speaking. If you don't learn to trust it, you're never going to inherit the abundant life that Jesus spoke about when he says, I come to bring life and that more abundantly. God wants to give you victory in your living. But you know what? If you don't heed this voice, if you don't trust this voice, you won't listen to it. Okay, if you don't listen to it, you will continue to go around and around and around and around in the same mistakes that you're making today. Only there'll be different mistakes. And you're constantly going around in a circle because you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. And five, the Holy Spirit talks to us, Revelations 2:7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we know that the Holy Spirit is talking. He's talking to the churches, right? The Lord tells me things around here to do. I couldn't do it without his help. Believe me, I couldn't. God often speaks through his Holy Spirit. Many times we do not hear him because we are not tuned into him. So God often speaks through his Holy Spirit, but you know what? We're not always tuned in. Listen to this. People say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, he gave you a church to teach you the Bible. Ooh. So that you can't excuse yourself. Nobody in this room can say, I don't understand the Bible. That's why I don't read it. Well, you got a church. You got a pastor. Okay? I'll explain it to you. Call me up. You got a question? I'll tell you. Right? Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Needs. Not your wants. Not the things that you like to have. Okay? Your needs. Amen? So we have to tune in to God to hear what he's got to say. But we tune out. How do we tune out? We watch TV programs we shouldn't be watching. They're cussing and fighting and yelling and screaming and they're just going all dramatic on one another, right? It's terrible. We shouldn't be watching that stuff. Okay, Mark 4:19 says, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. You just stay on the path with God and remain obedient. But people want to jump ship. They want to get out of the boat with God when the storm starts rocking it. They don't want to be obedient because they believe that if they do it God's way, it won't come quick enough or it won't come at all. Abraham did this. Abraham was told by God that he was going to get a son. But Abraham didn't believe it, so he slept with his wife's handmaiden. Now, we all know that sex out of wedlock, or should I say extramarital sex in this case, is forbidden by God. You don't do that, right? He didn't believe God, though. So he had an Ishmael. The devil wants to come to you when God promises you something and says, it's never going to change. It's never going to get any better. In fact, it's going to get worse. You better do something about this. You better do something. And you know what? You can't handle what's happening in your life. This is what the devil will tell you. You need to find another way to deal with your frustrations, your nervousness, your fears. God ain't helping you. You need to find another way to do it. I got a great idea, the devil says. Substance abuse. Have another drink. Have another smoke. Have another drug. It's on me. Live it up. You might as well feel good about this stuff because everything else is terrible. It's a lie. It is a lie. You know as well as I do that every sin has a consequence. Whether you pay for it now or later, it's coming. It's coming. I promise you, God will not be mocked. He will judge sin. And I'm not talking about when he appears in the clouds. That's coming too. I'm talking about in each and every one of our lives, including pastors, you sin, God will bring judgment on you. He has to. It's in his word. He will not be mocked. Every man shall reap, and every woman, ladies aren't off the hook, shall reap what you sow. You're going to reap it. Some people think they got away with stuff. 10 years down the road, they find out they didn't. But we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. The Holy Spirit talks to us. This is important because we want to hear what God has to say, right? John 14:26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. James, I can't be good Christian because I can't remember what God said about this. Yes, you do. You know you ain't supposed to lie, steal, cheat, murder, adultery. You know that stuff is wrong. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it in secret. I always tell people, you know it was wrong because you snuck around to do it. If you didn't know it was wrong, why are you hiding it? Now, sometimes people don't hide everything that they do that's wrong. Sometimes they come up to you and share it with you. What does that say that they're thinking about you? Think about that. Non-Christians try to understand the Bible, but without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible for them. You ever see someone who doesn't even believe in God trying to give you advice? They'll get you in all kinds of trouble, won't they? It is God only through his Holy Spirit that people are taught spiritual things concerning him. John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to him. Listen, guys, the more we fall in love with God, the more we'll receive blessings through obedience. Blessings to obedience. You do not give your child a praise report when he does something wrong, do you? You do not encourage your child to continue doing something wrong. You want them to live the right life, right? For parents who smoke, you don't teach your children to smoke, do you? Parents who drink, you don't give your children beer and alcohol on purpose, do you? But by your example, you could be teaching them that. Listen, as Christians, we are to walk in an example of God. There are people out there that never heard of the gospel in the sense that they have had it lived out in front of them. You listen to what I'm saying? You want to lead somebody to God, you got to learn to follow him first. You can't take somebody someplace you've never been to. You can't get them to God if you yourself aren't following Jesus. How are you going to show them the way when you're lost? There's people out there that God is counting on you to reach. Listen, you know people I don't know. I can't preach to everybody. I'm just one person. I need your help. And I need you guys to be my help, to be God's ambassadors at the places that I'm not. Listen, the next time you find yourself in a place you don't want to be at, surrounded by unholy people, pressing you on all sides, say, thank you, God. Because now I can give them the gospel. You put me here for a reason, God. You put me here for a reason. A man who spent 11 and a half years in prison told me, the Lord didn't put me there to punish me so much as to bless other people. Because in prison, I found Jesus. And in prison, I preached the word. I preached the gospel. Sometimes when God puts you around difficult people, it's so that you can be a blessing to them. But are you a blessing? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit when he says, tell them about Jesus? You don't have to be a Bible scholar to tell them that Jesus died for our sins. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to invite them to church. You don't have to be those things. All you have to be is a witness. God didn't call lawyers. He called witnesses, right? The lawyers argue the case, but the witnesses tell about it, don't they? Anybody can be a witness. So in conclusion, I want to say the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. He intercedes for us with groaning, prompting us to pray. That's in Romans 8:26. He searches our hearts, Romans 8:27. That's right. Nothing's hidden. God knows what you did last night, even if your friends don't. He talks to us, Acts 13:2, and Acts 16:6-7, Revelations 2:7. He teaches all things, John 14:26. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, John 16:8. Listen, every person is guilty of sin. I'm guilty. Okay, listen to this. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We've all done it, right? But there's a penalty, all right? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, somebody right now in your life needs to hear this. Maybe you do. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody right now. Somebody in your life, though, needs to hear these words too. Some people don't believe that there's a penalty for sin. They think they're going to sail right through and that their good deeds is going to make it up to God. When we sin against God, we have to accept his forgiveness through Christ Jesus. Disobeying God, that sin, results in being separated from him. Our own attempts can never unite us with God. That's why we need Jesus. Now listen, if you guys want Jesus right now, right where you're at, here's a prayer for you to say. Ask Jesus to save you. Right where you're at, okay? Say, "Lord, I am sorry for my sins, and I turn away from them right now. I repent. I ask you to forgive me. I accept Jesus Christ as the payment to you for my sins. I believe he died for me, and you raised him from the dead. Please forgive me through Jesus Christ, and help me to live a Christian life. Amen." If you said that prayer to the Lord and you meant it in your heart, you're a Christian.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.